This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're talking so far about Marilyn Monroe and her death. Dorothy Kilgallen, where you point out it may have involved a professional fix, but of course the question would be, what did she do to upset somebody to get that distinction? A woman who was in her 50s at the time this happened, a husband, three children. Who else? Another member of this cast of characters. Who would that be, Nick Redfern?
Well, the other guy was Howard Rothberg. Now, Howard Rothberg was a very good friend of Dorothy Kilgallen. He was an interior designer. He lived in New York, and he was plugged in with all the New York celebrities. We got this situation where Rothberg and Kilgallen were good friends, and Kilgallen knew Marilyn. So they were all kind of interlinked with each other. We know that Rothberg had an interest in UFOs, which probably originated from the fact that Kilgallen had told him what she knew. So we've got three people together there in various ways, tied together. And you've got one of them, Kilgallen, also looking into the JFK assassination. And then you've got Marilyn potentially spreading stories or threatening to spread stories as to what the Kennedys told them about crashed UFOs and aliens. And you can easily see all of this collectively could spiral out of turn. For example, if you look at the Edward Snowden situation, you know, you've got the NSA, one of the most secure security-type situations, facilities in the United States, top secret, and yet what you've got is Snowden as well, breezing out of the NSA and giving to the media just untold numbers of documents. And how and why on earth could that happen? Because alternative things happen. They can cause big problems and catastrophe. You know, life doesn't go like a smooth path, you know. And I think that's what happened there. You know, there was a situation where they were saying to each other, well, I'm talking about within governments, people were saying, well, you know, hopefully, you know, she won't say anything, just let it go for a while. Or the government was just hit with it. The first thing they really know is when they learn about the diary, they learn that Marilyn's threatening to reveal this and that. And again, you know, the government doesn't always have control over some of the most incredible things that have gone on in history.
What about the layers, though? I mean, like, we can get into a bunch of other stuff, too, because there's so many interesting things in this book. But, I mean, what if the government, it isn't, in quotes, the government, but we suspect that there is this shadowy element, this other layer that's deeper down in there, the deep state people that are connected with the MIB. So how do we know it wasn't them and not these people in the CIA or the FBI? They might have had these concerns, like you're saying, Nick, but it seems to me that this other shadowy group, whoever it is, they've been watching people and keeping tabs on this for a long time, and they probably would have known exactly what was going on with Dorothy and Marilyn before the FBI and the CIA.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point, and one of the main reasons why is that, for people who don't know, if we sort of just quickly jump back, the story itself goes back to 1995 when a man named Milo Spiriglio, who was both a private detective and an author who written three books about Marilyn's death, Spiriglio in 1995 was given this one-page document that looks just like a CIA document talking about wiretaps and Dorothy Kilgallen and Howard Rothberg. The document says basically that the CIA was wiretapping Kilgallen and Rothberg, and that's how they got the information as to what Marilyn was telling them. Now, that document, and there's a reason why I'm saying this, like as a bring it to the fore, so to speak. What we know for sure is that all of the people who are mentioned in the document were friends or acquaintances. The document itself, we do know that it was typed on a 1950s era typewriter. The original of the document was like a 50, 60 year old piece of sheet of paper. That's a fact. Now, when you read the documents, it's not the CIA talking about killing Marilyn. What it is, it's the CIA listening in on conversations that they want to know what the hell's going on with Marilyn Monroe. So to get back to your point, there's several agencies and different departments that could have been involved in the death of Marilyn, because there were certain people who knew, there were certain people who didn't know, and there were certain people who knew everything and wanted her gone. Yes, it doesn't have to have been the CIA just because it was a CIA document, because the document does look like the CIA was quite puzzled and trying to get the information from alternative ways, so to speak.
Exactly. Like, what if it was the case where whatever this other shadowy lair beneath those people were going, hey, the CIA's onto her now, and so is the FBI. They're going to hear something. It's going to get out, right? Because, so maybe these shadowy MIB types that who knows where they come from, decided to get into the picture. Like, did you run across any stuff where there's a suggestion of MIBs or kind of strange activity going on around, like that, surveillance and stuff that doesn't really fit the picture of the CIA or the FBI?
What, you mean in general?
Well, just like, you know, odd stuff that doesn't quite fit the profile of either one of the sort of official agencies, but, you know, it's just kind of weird. You know how you hear the stories? You've written the books on the MIB, right? They don't necessarily just fit those profiles. There's some pretty strange stuff about them that we're not really sure where they come from. And I'm wondering if that element was entered as well.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of ties in, you know, with the sort of shadow government angle, you know, where the people you expect within government to know what's going on may actually not really know what's going on at all. And that kind of thing, I think, happens a lot. With the document, you know, if this was a hoax document, and it could be a hoax document that was given to Spiriglio, it could have been a sophisticated hoax. I don't think it was. But if you read that document, it actually plays things down quite a lot. And it doesn't come across like a hoax. For example, you know, a lot of people have said it talks about flying saucers and dead aliens. Nowhere in that document does it mention UFOs, flying saucers, aliens, or extraterrestrials. None of those words appear in the document. But there's this legend that has developed that that's what everybody thinks the document says. What the document actually says is that Marilyn had heard rumors of dead bodies and a crashed spacecraft. Now, one of the things I talk about in the book is the idea this could actually have been not like the Roswell event or a crashed UFO. It could have been a pre-Gagarin secret Russian flight, and what we captured was not a crashed UFO and dead aliens, but two or three mangled cosmonauts and the rest of the craft. So you've got these different angles where different agencies could come into it and take over because of certain circumstances. The Air Force might have come in because they want to collect the Russian technology and, you know, see how their technology works. Is it better than ours? So there's a lot of reasons why there are different people who could be involved in terms of wanting a part of the pie, so to speak, but also, you know, trying to figure out who should be in control of this.
And here's a special announcement. Nick Redfern will hang with us for this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, part of the Paracast Plus subscription. Check theparacast.plus for more info. Let's do our break. Okay. We'll have more to come with Nick, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Just a point of discussion, Nick. If we had recovered a crashed Soviet spacecraft and we had the bodies of dead cosmonauts, at that time, we're competing with the Russians to get to the moon first. Wouldn't we want to publicize what happens to the Russians?
Well, maybe not if it turned out that their technology was way ahead of ours. they probably wouldn't want to admit that or reveal it to the media, you know, to the New York Times. We found a Russian craft and it's way ahead of ours. I think they probably would keep that hidden. So the document, in many respects, is kind of an enigma. That is one of the reasons why I don't think the document is a hoax, because it's not specific enough. It doesn't give us, you know, what we want. Tales of aliens and dead extraterrestrials and flying saucers and UFOs. It actually plays that picture down, and the reader is forced to come to their own conclusion as to what those bodies were.
Right. Of course, we do know that Kennedy was interested in UFOs. Someone ran across a document where he had requested all of the information about them from NASA. So, you know, there again, we have that connection. And, yeah, okay, so I want to see the connection. I'm looking for a connection. I'm one of those readers that's going, okay, there's a lot of issues there. There's a lot of political intrigue. But this UFO mystery seems to be at the heart and at the root of a lot of this stuff that was going on back then politically. So, you know, why couldn't it be?
Why couldn't it be what?
Why couldn't it be the sort of a nexus for a number of the things that were happening back then? I mean, kind of like a, you know, like a Bryce Abel Dark Skies kind of thing, right? Like, why not?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of sort of a hidden secret government or agency that oversees all of this, that's quite plausible. What's also plausible is that Agency A, which might be the CIA, and Agency B, the FBI, and Agency C, the NSA, all of them may have heard about this and rumors, and they all want to figure out what's going on, and maybe one of the agencies doesn't want to share the data with another agency, which does happen a lot for various reasons. So, you know, the idea that we don't have the reasons behind all of this is possibly because none of this was overseen and orchestrated by the regular agencies. You know, it could just have been, you know, let's just get a bunch of guys in, hired assassins, this kind of thing, and hope nobody really understands the full story, and let's just keep our heads down, get rid of her diary, and make it look good in her bedroom on the night she dies, you know.
Exactly. But, like, who are these people who are saying, let's just get these people? Like, I think it's way too coincidental. Okay, so Kennedy asks for the dossier on UFOs. Next thing you know, he gets shot, right? Kilgallen says she's going to break the story. All of a sudden, she's done away with. It seems like, okay, the next logical thing is, what about the people she was close to, who she was talking to, and all of a sudden Marilyn goes too? I mean, you know, Nick, there's something going on there, for sure.
Yeah, there was. Something happened, and there are a lot of mysterious and suspicious issues surrounding Marilyn's death. She was tied in with the Kennedys. There's no doubt about that. She had this diary where she was not the ditzy blonde that people said. You know, her diary was not contained with, oh, I saw a nice little blue bird fly past the window today and put that in the diary. It wasn't. When she died and she was taken to the mortuary, three members of that staff said that they saw that diary brought in with her positions and, you know, all her things that she'd got, you know, some of the things that needed to be taken to the morgue. And what happened is that that diary was seen within the morgue for about 3 days. And then after that, a team of people came in, took all her possessions, and that included the diary. Several of the staff spoke on the record and said, yes, we saw that diary taken away. It was like a thick, bulky diary that just told everything of, like, the last sort of 5 or 6 years.
So what do you mean a team of people here, though? Do you mean like a team of people in black suits and
yeah,
ties? Or
yeah, so,
they're part of her family or something? Okay, so
no,
officials.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
like a bunch of suits came in, took it all away, and that was the last sight of the diary. Now, where that went to, we don't know. I mean, there's several possibilities that it was burned, that it was shredded. The one that I think is more likely, that it was preserved just in case it was ever needed to go back retrospectively and see what she might have said here or there, you know, pull it out now and again to try and figure out how much she knew. I think that's more likely. I think it would be such an important piece of national security that it probably wouldn't be burned or shredded. I think it would be held just in case the next president or whatever needed to be briefed on it, and so they pull out the diary and, Mr. President, here it is, and we'll put it back in the vault after, you know.
You see, that raises another question, which takes us kind of to an overreaching part of it, is if a president comes into office, and we have Obama, for example, mentioning that he didn't get any real interesting information, though he thinks it should be investigated. If President Obama, President Trump, President Biden, whoever, asks his people, I want to know what's going on with UFOs, do they have to tell him, or is there a way they could cop out or just hide what they don't want him to know? Because he's a temporary occupant. These people have been in the military-industrial complex for decades.
Well, that's an important question or an important scenario, because when you say, you know, would his the president's advisor, you know, have to give the information or even have the information, one of the things we ought to be aware of, it's possible that the president and all presidents have been out of the loop. And that brings us back to the sort of, you know, the secret government. You know, I mean, how many presidents do we know, sort of rumors of them being taken to Area 51? There aren't that many rumors. There's like one or two. And one of those is the Marilyn document. So my view is that just because, you know, let's say President Obama, let's say one of his advisors said, Mr. President, we've gone looking and this is what we found. These are documents. But just because that's all they found, it doesn't mean that's all there is to be found. That could quite easily mean that, you know, there could be gigantic, endless vaults under Area 51, which the key figures in the intelligence community know all about. But the guy who just is in perhaps office for just 4 years as the president knows nothing about it.
Diary of Secrets is the book. Nick Redfern, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United Nations Security Council has called on Israel and Hamas to fully adhere to a ceasefire agreed upon earlier this week. The statement from the council, issued on Saturday, also urged humanitarian aid to be sent to the Palestinian civilian population in Gaza. It was the council's first public statement on the conflict that saw 11 days of fighting between Israel and Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip. The United Nations announced Friday that it was releasing $22.5 million in humanitarian aid to Gaza. And at least 20 people participating in a cross-country ultra-marathon in China have died. Severe weather moved into the area of the mountain track, with some racers going missing in the freezing rain and hail. Rescuers found 20 people dead early Sunday, with another person still missing. About 150 people were found safe, with several being treated for minor injuries. You're listening to USA Radio News. A long-serving senator says he'll run for another term. Mike Fortier reports.
The longest-serving active senator reportedly planning to run for a ninth term next year. Politico reporting the 81-year-old has told sources he believes he's the only Democrat in Vermont that can win the seat. If Leahy were to serve another term, he would become the longest-serving senator ever. That record currently belongs to the late Robert Byrd of West Virginia, who served 51 years. Leahy first elected to the Senate the year after President Nixon resigned. He's the last remaining Watergate baby. A Leahy spokesman tells Politico no decision has been made. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
And the Biden administration announced Saturday that it would extend temporary protected status for the next 18 months for Haiti. The move will allow Haitians to remain in the U.S. and obtain a work permit. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas pointed to security concerns, social unrest, human rights abuses, and a lack of basic resources as reasons for issuing the redesignation. Haiti was initially designated for TPS in 2010 following a massive earthquake on the island. This is USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Diary of Secrets. I want to ask you something here, which is following your statement that the president is just a temporary occupant, so it's easy for the levels with which he deals, also temporary occupants, not to have information. Are we saying the same thing about a DNI or a head of the CIA like a Woolsey or a Brennan? When they say, yeah, we'd like to see this investigated, the head of the CIA's got to know this, right, or not?
Well, yes, but I mean, if you look at the UFO subject, it's so unique that my view is that everything surrounding it could be unique. In other words, what I'm saying is that it's entirely possible that the whole UFO subject issue has been controlled in a fashion that is completely different to everything else within the, you know, the last 70 years or whatever. You know, the phenomenon is so different. Why shouldn't the situations to keep it hidden, you know, be exactly the same situation as well? You know, I would be very surprised if the UFO subject was sort of controlled just like every other national security issue. I think it really would be so different, and that could explain, you know, the whole angle of why we're not getting the answers, because whoever's running the program isn't doing it like it's running, you know, a war in the Middle East. It's something totally different, I think.
Okay, so here's something, too, which is even at lower levels in the military, staffs change, people change, new generals take over. We have the mid-level bureaucrats take over. Where do you keep this a secret that doesn't leak somewhere?
Well, again, I think there's an easy answer to that a lot of people don't think about. My view is that if there have been crashed UFOs and dead aliens, and we don't know if there has or there hasn't, you know, but if there have been crashed UFOs and dead aliens what if, to keep the secret, all that's been done with them is that they've been placed five floors under Area 51, kind of like in a museum. And so the best way to hide the secret is to never let it out. And a lot of people don't think like that. They think, you know, there's all back engineering going on and we're flying them at night outside Area 51. What if that's not going on? What if, to hide the truth, the ones in the know, the ones who are really running the program, have said, well, the best way to keep this secret is to not let it out to anybody other than the ones who, you know, maybe needed to try and look at the technology. But, you know, to for the most part, just keep everything away from everybody and maybe not even investigate it too much for fear of letting it get out. And so what do? You look the other way and you hide it. And again, that demonstrates sort of a very alternative situation because the whole thing is alternative. It's not like any other kind of national security that's ever been needed in the United States since the 1940s, possibly.
So nobody is reverse engineering alien technology from a crashed spaceship because they don't want to draw attention to anything until they have a handle on it. It's stuck somewhere in Warehouse 13 or in some dusty warehouse that we don't even know where that warehouse is. As you say, it's a deep level in Area 51. About private industry? Would private industry be dependent on to keep a secret like this, or that's just going too far?
There's no way they would keep their mouths shut. They want to be the guys who blow the whistle. You know, I'm the scientist who revealed to the Wall Street Journal what's going on. I don't believe those guys would keep their mouths shut. That's what it comes down to.
So therefore, it's almost like a deep state or a secret government because they don't let anything out. Or if they do let something out, it's for psyops purposes, right?
Possibly. I mean, you probably remember, Gene, you know, back in the late 1970s, early 80s, Leonard Stringfield was sort of like the prime researcher of crashed UFOs. He put out all those reports and everything. You remember that?
I talked to him a couple of times on the phone, and we had an occasional correspondence. Yes, he seemed to get all these cases that nobody else was able to get.
Exactly. And I'm sure that a lot of those crashed UFO stories that he got, dozens of them, they were planted. And so while everybody's looking for these crashed UFOs and dead aliens, even if they exist, the chances that, you know, they really are just locked away. Kind of like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, the idea that we're not sure what to do with it. We don't know where these things come from. Let's just put them away. You know, that's the easiest thing to do. I could see that actually happening.
Probably the genesis of the Warehouse 13 TV series that was on the Sci-Fi Channel for several years.
Yeah.
But there was a team or several teams of investigators that maintained all these crazy artifacts. And each one, of course, creates some kind of fantasy situation if they're allowed to get loose. So it extended it. But I would not doubt that out of sight, out of mind is a way not to have to deal with something of this nature. Because they don't want to have to deal with it. As you say, the danger of it being disclosed. The danger of finding out something that they really would rather not know.
The way I kind of look at it, it's like, you know, if you've got a young kid and you don't want to find out his mom, his mom doesn't want to find out. Well, yeah, what I was just basically saying was that, you know, if you want to hide something, you do nothing with it, basically, because to do anything with it might just cause part of it to come tumbling out, and then that small piece becomes a large piece and a larger piece, and before you know it, it's out of control. And I kind of think that could have been the situation with Marilyn, was that it started off with her and the Kennedys, you know, having a bit of fun. And then she starts to put the diary together, and then she gets angry when they dump her, and she then decides, I'm going to get, you know, something back on my side, you know, I'm going to tell the media, I'm going to have a press conference, which is what allegedly was going to happen, and then she dies. You can easily see, almost overnight, that could spiral like a whirlwind, you know, just going from, as I said, like a bit of pillow talk, as it used to be called, and to the point where somebody says this woman's got to go. You can easily see that the distance between those two points would actually not be much at all, really.
But that takes us to the deaths of Kennedy, both of them, John and Robert, or even the Chappaquiddick episode with Ted Kennedy, where he was put in a position there for whatever reason that he couldn't credibly go beyond U.S. Senate, even though he tried to run for president once.
Yeah. I mean, I should stress on all this, I don't think at all that the president or Robert Kennedy ordered Marilyn Monroe to be killed. I don't believe that at all. What I do believe is that, you know, you have these characters and figures who work in governments, you know, so-called fixer types who, you know, you turn the other way and, you know, a bunch of money to one particular person who can get jobs done, that kind of thing. And I think that's the same with President Kennedy. I don't believe at all that the CIA killed JFK.
I once suggested that I don't think we'll ever solve the UFO mystery in my lifetime. And I kind of think that the rumors about JFK and RFK will never be resolved either. We are going to break now. More to come with Gene Randall. And Nick, you're in.
Duh.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in a new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813. 813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to replace the Everly Brothers.
No.
Yeah, that must be the drugs.
That was bad.
Anyway, let's continue with our discussion here. So, would John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and of course the things that happened with Ted Kennedy, would all that be influenced by UFO knowledge? Were they separate instances? What?
Well, I don't know that Ted Kennedy would know anything about it. We're talking pretty much about the early 1960s, and the only reason why the story got out was because of Marilyn, and she got angry with the because they dumped her, etc., etc. So I don't think, you know, it was something that was leaking all over the place, and I don't think either that we're talking about them having any involvement in getting rid of her. But, you know, you can easily see you get an assassin in, that kind of situation, like $25,000 in cash, thank you very much, go away, and nobody has the names even either. But that's not, that sort of thing is not implausible. If people don't believe that kind of stuff doesn't go on, you know, they're just totally naive.
Well, the other thing here too is they're all victims, right? Because like we go back to, okay, so Kennedy wants the dossier on the UFOs from NASA, all of a sudden he gets killed, right? Dorothy Kilgallen's going to reveal the story, and all of a sudden she's offed, right? Mm-hmm. Marilyn Monroe involved with Kennedy, it's very possible that she knows about that, friends with Dorothy Kilgallen for sure, and then all of a sudden Marilyn is offed. And then who's next? Robert Kennedy, right? I mean, they're all victims.
Other than Kilgallen, Kilgallen was the only one in their 50s. All the rest, you know, were in their 40s. You know, so it's a situation where just about all of them went at young ages, and they all had these connections, UFOs, the Kennedy assassination, the diary. You know,
oh, yeah. There's this whole web going on there. And I mean, it's irresistible. There's something to it. There's this dark, sinister, underground, who knows where it's from, influence. And they're not the only ones. I mean, we've talked about this before, Nick. There are dozens of people that have been connected with UFOs and UFO research that have died in really weird ways, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the Marconi murders, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic example, the Marconi scientists, from 1982 to 1991 in the UK. More than 30 scientists and personnel who were either directly working for Marconi or were sort of, you know, they were hired persons to do work for them. Between that period, more than 32 people died under really bizarre circumstances, weird suicides. I mean, one example, for example, a perfectly weird situation. One of these scientists, his wife came home, and there was like, she thought it was like smoke coming out the garage. It obviously wasn't. It was, you know, the guy had killed himself, you know, in the car. And everybody's panicking. They couldn't find the body. It was assumed he killed himself because the garage was just filled, you know. You couldn't breathe in there. It took him like 15 minutes to find his body. What he'd done, he'd actually laid down horizontal underneath the car with the tube going from the, with no tube, I should say. He just sort of laid down inside the garage on his back. And of course, nobody thought to look underneath the car. I mean, why would you? And so there's a lot of really weird, strange things like that. And scientists got up in the morning, got in the car. One of them slammed his car into a restaurant, set fire, and he was fried in his car. And as I said, we talk about 32 people working for this company, Marconi, and its offshoots. And you still had, you know, in the British government, oh, well, he was depressed, and this was just an accident, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, 32 of them, you know, and we have to listen to this nonsense of all these different excuses, you know.
Yeah. You know, another death to mention very briefly is M.K. Jessup, author of The Case for the UFO, which, of course, was part of the crazy Philadelphia experiment controversy. But he committed suicide in a park in Dade County, Florida, as I recall. This must have been the 1950s. And the late Ivan T. Sanderson, don't know if many of you heard of him, a zoologist and UFO investigator. He said, and we don't have an interview. We do have an interview that Bob Zanotti did years ago with Ivan T. Sanderson that will let listeners to the Paracast Plus and members of Paracast Plus hear. But he said he thought there was something strange there, that he didn't see why Jessup would have offed himself, especially in such a public way.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, I mean, Jessup, prior to his death, he had reasons. We don't know what the clear reasons were, but he had reasons to believe that he was being watched or followed, and he had a weird car accident which he couldn't figure out how he did it. You know, it was almost like some kind of subliminal type situation. And that actually parallels with the Marconi scientists. One of them actually said he was driving down the equivalent of, you know, like a three-lane or six-lane motorway in the UK, and he had this really disturbing, weird feeling that he had to crash his car into the side of the road and kill himself. And he said that he really had to fight to take that thought out of his mind, as if it was like a subliminal kind of situation.
That's really interesting. I mean, that sounds like mind control.
Yeah, it does.
And it doesn't sound like your everyday mind control, you know?
No, it doesn't. It's like really weird.
I mean, this is getting into, like, again, what I was bringing up earlier, this sort of the weirder side of the MIB, dark side of the UFO silencer type things, you know, that Timothy Green Beckley would talk about. Like, there's something going on, but what?
Well, I mean, you can actually, in relation to the Marilyn story, I mean, the way we can kind of dig further is to dig further. And I mean, one of the things that I found when I was doing the research for the book, you know, I mentioned how the person who got this this sort of a very controversial document, Milo Spiriglio, one of the things I thought to myself, I was like, well, you know, Spiriglio was the guy who was given the documents, so he's a pretty significant character. So I used the Freedom of Information Act to see if there was a file on Spiriglio. And to what was actually my amazement, I thought nothing would come back. I actually got a response from the CIA. And what I got was about a 45-page file on Spiriglio put together by the CIA. What it was filled with was just about every newspaper or magazine article that Spiriglio had been written about in relation to Marilyn and the diary. All those articles from the newspapers and the magazines had been photocopied by the CIA and placed into their Spiriglio file. And what's even more intriguing is that if you look at each page where, you know, all these photocopies of, like, from the New York Times and the Washington Post and whatever, where it mentions Spiriglio's Diary of Secrets, somebody in the CIA had got a black marker and underlined with a black marker directly below where it says Diary of Secrets.
I have a question. When we bring the CIA into domestic surveillance,
yes,
the CIA should be looking into stuff that relates to foreign infiltration, possible spying by overseas actors, not into American issues. That should be the job of the FBI. So you have to wonder, what would this guy Spiriglio have been involved in to have attracted the attention of the CIA? We're going to break now. We've got Nick Redfern. And his book is entitled Diary of Secrets. And by the way, he'll join us also on After the Paracast, because the Paracast will not give us enough time. With Gene and Randall and Nick, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.